I think Sound and Vision was quite a traditional audiovisual archive previously. And a few years ago, they had this new strategy of making it a multimedia archive. And that's where me and some other colleagues come in, where we look at what media kind of entails and what new media or emerging forms should fall under this and will become heritage or part of our collective history or memory in the future. So I'm currently looking into interactive websites and immersive, and we have a research partnership with ITFA Doc Lab.
What does that look like? This how your collaboration or
well, currently we are looking into what it will mean this year. But for us, it's really interesting to see how we can archive or preserve these artworks, to see how that works, and it kind of lends
to learn from Doc Lab how they do that.
To learn from the artists, I think, right, in a way, because what we also discussed is that these new materials, there's not really like one way or one traditional inflow or ingest for our archive. So we kind of have to see how artists work with it now, or how people produce their immersive or interactive content, and to see how we can document in a way. So what you said kind of sparked my interest to kind of have this holistic documentation, to have all these different angles and to kind of capture something as a whole, because we don't really know yet. We are not an expert on this yet as well. So I think to have artistic research with our more kind of institutional and practical side of looking at how to archive it can be of value. So I think that is kind of how I am sitting here and what my angle is.
And what is your public when we talk about publishing and in relation to a public? Like who are you working with apart from artists? Like who, yeah, why do you exist?
Well, many reasons.
Not on a personal level, on the institutional level.
Yeah, we have, I don't really know what the English word would be, but we have like a governmental role. So we have to archive this history and heritage of the Netherlands. And I think what we kind of do is we Ofstemmen. So we kind of see with all the other institutions in the Netherlands, what do you collect? What should we collect? And in that way, to kind of grasp this complete heritage or complete collection of what exists, which is a big task and is difficult. But I feel like Sound and Vision has this particular look or different way of looking at media and emerging materials that other institutions don't have, because we kind of have this maybe it's not freedom, but kind of more of an experimental way of looking at what we want to collect and what we find important and part of the.
And who decides that?
Well, it's our conservators and curators, and we have a collection policy. So currently we have a collection policy for all the more traditional broadcasting and linear media, and we are trying to see if we can take inspiration from that for these newer and immersive emerging materials.
I was wondering maybe you could talk a bit more about your different formats, because you work on such very different planes and in different industries and with different mediums, but I was wondering maybe you can respond to each other a bit, like about the different formats, because I think with Time is Capital, you're I think the only one here that's trying to make things interactive or give agency, active agency to people that want to enter your platform, although you know it's just launched. Well, we know that, but in Sound Division, it's more, it feels like more of a collection than an interactive archive. How, in what way, do you aspire to become more nonlinear or more interactive, or Yeah, is that something that is discussed, or that's something that in that you are thinking of, or?
Well, one of the boundaries maybe that we have is that we have a collection center, I would say, or like the repository and how it works. So it's difficult to kind of fit these materials in there because it's made for these broadcasting, radio and television, and linear content. But I think because of that, it kind of leads the way for a different look at it, I guess, because they don't fit in there. We can kind of discover and experiment. So what would people want to put in there, and how could we capture these kinds of, like, how could you capture your project, and how, what would that mean for us if we would want to collect it, or, yeah. So I think that's how the dialogue comes kind of in there. But we are still on the beginning of figuring that out, to see what we would want to collect and how we would go about that. Mm-hmm. So if we would try to fix it in a way, or look at all these different cases. But I guess this interactive, my colleague Chris is also sitting there, and I think this idea of interactive archive comes into her work a bit, because she does a lot on artistic reuse.
Well, then Chris should sit down on this chair.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late.
This is Chris Petrasova. She's a project lead of Digital Heritage in Public Media. And your focus is on the reuse of digital audio visual heritage.
Yes.
So tell us about this reuse.
We are trying to find a nice explanation for what reuse means, but it's actually we are focusing on reusing by artists and filmmakers, but also designers, journalists, researchers, anybody who is interested to use the archive material, digital archive material, but also analog archive material, to forward their work, to their artistic practice or their research practice. And we are actually started to explore that very extensively. So we are very, very welcome all artists, anybody who has an idea or just want to see what's there in the archive. What do we have? So this comes from the
and who is effectively coming?
Filmmakers, in researchers, more and more artists. And we are also developing an educational program for students of art academies. And there is a lot of interest, I think, but we are kind of searching in how to engage also with artistic practice of artists, how to provide the needed access, because this is a problem.
What is the problem?
The problem is that the archive is accessible, but it's not all accessible, because there is this copyright, and it's very restrictive.
So you can look but not use.
Yes, you can look,
but you're the lead.
Well, now you can look and use, but it depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
It's very complex, and you can't actually enter it from anywhere and wherever. But we have all kinds of tools for that. And there are many tools.
What kind of tools are you talking about?
Collection catalog. We have a research media suite. That's a research tool.
But that's for searching, right? Not for using. That's still restricted then.
Yeah, but then it's if you find something that you want to use, then we can provide you with that material. So,
what do you mean?
You just get the file.
Mm.
Yeah. That's very mysterious, right?
Yes. you get the file.
You just get the file, yeah. You just get it.
Okay. And then there's no copyright issue.
Well, if it's we'll discuss that. There is, of course,
with you.
Not well.
With her.
No. for me, if it was for me, just everybody can use everything. But this is a very interesting topic for publication also.
Yeah. That was, yeah, here we hit like the wall of copyright issues, right? And what is indeed accessible and what not. And who, if there, with the wall also of institutions, like who decides what can be used. And it's also a revenue model. Like,
absolutely.
Even
for cultural heritage institutions, which is of course a big moral question, but not everybody who works at a cultural heritage institution thinks that way. So it is a discussion that we also try to have. But it's also a question for artists, for creators. What do you want to do with your work when you make it and when you publish it? So what's the future of your work? Because if you don't think about that while creating, then it just enters the copyright system as it is now, and nothing changes.
Yeah.